we did. So a long, long time ago, Jack and I were having this whopping fight. Anybody ever fight? The rest of you. Man, I'm going to move in. Whoa. Yeah, well, we had a wing dinger, okay? And it was not a wrap up pretty. We could not wrap it up pretty. We, you know, we both dug our heels in and it was just ugly. U-G-L-Y. It was ugly, ugly, ugly. So finally Jack leaves and he goes to the church office. I'm staying home. And I thought, man, I didn't like this. I didn't get all my words in. So, because Jack always had the last word. I'm allowed to say that. You're not. He's just wonderful in your eyes. I'm the only one that gets to criticize him, okay? But he would get the last word in. So I thought, dang, I'm going to call him up and leave a message. And I knew he was going into a meeting, so I knew he wouldn't be able to pick up the phone. So I knew I could leave this message. Talk about not too pretty, huh? Okay, so I leave this message, and I did all the things you should never say on the message. You always... You did this. You're always like that. You're just like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And it just went on and on and on. And I hung up and I felt so good because I got the last word in there. Just made sure he knew it was his fault. And I was, you know, okay. So 5 minutes go by and the phone rings and Jack calls me. I'm like, yeah, he got the message. Good. Well, he starts talking and he goes right away, honey, I'm really sorry. It was me. I was all wrong, and I really apologize. I reacted, and I realized as he goes through this very lengthy apology, he hadn't listened to the blasting message. So he's just going on, oh, Dee, I love you. I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. And I go, okay, okay, okay. And then I hung up, and I go, oh, my gosh, can I delete this? Now, this is years ago, and I don't know nothing about technology back then. I know a smidgen now, so I was like, oh, gosh, oh, gosh. So here's my big question for you. Is there anything in 2018 that you would like to delete? Y'all had a good year? Perfect. My God. Wow, man. I was just, I'm gonna, gee whiz. Is there anything you'd love to delete about last year? I have a couple of things, all right? Well, this is the good news. Ready? You can delete. And we're going to talk about the first part of today. I'm going to talk about how to delete some of the yuck from last year. How you delete things, all right? So here's my main idea, and I'd like you to take notes today. Write this down. This is the main idea that I'd like you to understand more clearly than ever before, and that it'll stay inside of you so much that you'll actually do it. Because there's one thing to hear something and it goes in one ear and out the other, in one ear and out the other, or you grab hold of it and it just stays in you. So I'm believing this is going to stay in you and then you'll be a doer of the word. So here's the main idea. If you're taking notes, write this down. A fresh year means a fresh S-T-A-R-T. And I'm going to give you, that's an acrostic, and we're going to give you 5 principles about that word start on how you have a fresh start. Because I like new. I like new. I like fresh. Do you ever go to the grocery store and then they have the discount produce? Okay. And sometimes you're thinking you're getting a good deal, but they're yucked. They're not fresh. They're bruised up, ready to go. The bananas are ready to go bad and as soon as you walk out the door. Okay, I like fresh stuff. So a new year is going to be a fresh start. New year is going to be a fresh start. So in order to have a fresh start, we have to probably understand how we delete things. Okay? How we delete things. And it's real interesting. I've had the Cokers just moved a week ago, and I have another friends that just moved. And it was interesting. They had to clear the clutter. You should clear the clutter before you go in. Don't look at her. She's a clutter thing now. Okay. You should clear the clutter before you go into the new. Because who wants to take the old clutter junk with you? All right. So I want us to first look at how we delete stuff. How do we delete our mistakes, all right? And the first thing you have to understand is God deletes for us. your Father God, who is so amazing and so full of love, and we sang two songs that were just like that. Your Father God loves to delete your mistakes. That is so exciting. That is so exciting. He loves to delete our mistakes. He does that. And I'm going to give you a scripture. If you open up to Malachi chapter 7. It's a great scripture. By the way, every scripture is a great scripture. I say that all the time. Y'all, at Malachi, it's in the Old Testament. It's right before the New Testament starts. Excuse me, Micah. I said Malachi. Micah. Sorry. Micah. You over at Micah? It's over a little bit more that way. Okay, Micah. Where is the God who can compare with you? Wiping the slate clean of guilt. Turning a blind eye, a deaf ear to your past what? Past sins, okay? Past mistakes of your purged and precious life. If you're a believer, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, you are a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are one of those that he has purged and wiped out all your stuff, all your sins, okay? Isn't that great? Now, that other part where it says he wipes our slate clean of guilt. So he deleted my bad voice message that I left. Okay? He deletes your mistakes. He deletes your just, I was so ugly. He deletes that. Isn't that wonderful? Tell your neighbor, God deletes. Yeah, he does. And the Message Bible says, the second part, it says, turning a blind eye and a deaf ear to your past. So the God side of this is he's a deleter. He's a deleter. So everybody say, God is a deleter. He is not looking around and holding tight and rubbing it in your face, all your mistakes. He forgives and he wipes it clean. All right, he just does that. Now, some of us, it's kind of tough for us to believe that. Sometimes it's tough for people to believe that. And then to make it even worse, sometimes it's tough for us to forgive ourselves. Have you ever beat yourself up? Have you ever brought your junk up? But God is a deleter, and we need to just not bring it back up. Just let it go. Let it go. Praise God. Now, the Apostle Paul knew about this. The Apostle Paul wrote about this. How many of you know about the Apostle Paul? He's called Paul. Some Bibles call him Saint Paul. And he was called to tell people, but a very specific part of people, he was called to tell the non-Jews all about Jesus. He was called to tell the non-Jews all about Jesus. And you know, by the way, for a while there, he just wouldn't obey God. He'd go to his Jewish friends, his Jewish nation, and they were just so nasty to him. And then God was like, I didn't call you to go over there. Will you go where I tell you to go? And he's like, oh, yeah. So he was called to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. He was called to me because I'm not a Jew. All right, so he's called over there. And actually, when I think about Paul, I think he's probably the most spiritual person, except for Jesus, that lived on the planet. It's just my opinion. I think he's the most spiritual person, except for Jesus, that lived on the planet. The Apostle Paul also wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. That's pretty cool. All right. And by the way, anybody who was an author of the Bible, they just didn't cook up whatever they wanted. It was not their opinion. And some of y'all have opinions, but God would speak to them and they would write it down. So that makes him pretty spiritual, huh? That makes him really spiritual. So he wrote this, and he was probably the most spiritual person except for Jesus. So turn over to Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Listen what he said. Philippians 3:13. Ready? No, dear brothers, I am not all that I should be, but I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. Everybody put up one finger. One thing. Now, usually I give people a list. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, there's just one thing. You got to get it. Ready? And what does he say? Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Okay? So If this guy had to do it, you have to do it too. This is this most spiritual person aside from Jesus. He had to forget his past and look forward to the future. This is also the Apostle Paul who wrote in Romans, I think chapter 7, he says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. The guy struggled. Anybody struggle? Your wife will tell you you struggled. Your husband will tell you you struggled. Your kids will tell you and rat on you because they used to teach them. Amen. They tell me, man, mom and dad had this big blow up in the car. I was like, oh, not too much information. Okay? So listen, if the Apostle Paul struggled with his past and moving forward, we do, all righty? But listen what he says. He says, I'm putting all my energies on this one thing. I am putting all my effort in this one thing. And the one thing is, if you don't put your effort in this one thing, you are going to remember all your past mess ups. You're going to remember all your sins. And you are not going forward. And we got 2019, and you're going to repeat 2018, and I want to get rid of 2018, and I want to go forward. So what are you going to have to do? I am going to forget the past, all right? Now, it's real interesting if you start in the beginning of the chapter one of the book, okay, Paul talks about a lot of the good things he did. High five, Paul. He talks a lot about all the good things. And then he also slides in all the things that he did that weren't so good. So he's talking about the good things he's done. He's talking about the bad things, okay? Now, we need to delete all of them. Everybody say all. Because if you do not, now listen, it's okay to say, hey, man, this was a good thing. And, you know, we did this. And we used to do this, and that was really good. And that should put a smile on your face. But if you keep saying, well, you know, we used to do this, and that was so good. You know, we used to do this, and that was so great. You know, we used to do that. Guess what? You are stuck in the used to's. Even though they're good. And yes, we are to remind ourselves of good things. But that sometimes will hold you. Matter of fact, all the time, it'll hold you stuck, and you're supposed to go forward. So most of us, you know, we do have a good time talking about the good things, the good old days, the good fun things, and the great things that God did. Okay, but the one that we struggle with the most of the time, the one that we struggle the most of the time is talking about our mess ups, our things that weren't successful, the things that blew up in our face, the thing that stole, that I did it, you know, just did crazy things. So in order to have a new year and a fresh start, we are going to put the delete button. And I'm telling you guys, maybe we just forget some of the good things. They're good. They're good. Just go to your photo album and look at them. They're good. Forget about those. Definitely delete, because God deletes our mistakes. And you need to delete your mistakes. And then we're going into 2019. And I have a list on the side of my refrigerator of big things for 2019. Come over to my house. You can check it out. So you ready to go into 2019? Good. Say it with some enthusiasm. Yes, I'm ready to go into 2000. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe you're just, let's pray. How about that? Father God, we thank you that you love us so much, that you don't hold our mistakes against us, that you wipe them clean. And Father, if there's anybody here today that's just keeps going like this, and looking at their mistakes, Holy Spirit, you remind them, let go, because God has let go. And Father, that you can launch them then into their new year in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So let's talk about a new start, S-T-A-R-T. Now, keep smiling, because I'm going to say an F word. The most of you are like, oh, dang it, Pastor D. Okay, ready? The S in S-T-A-R-T stands for start with fasting. Some of you are just scared the willies out of you. Fasting. And I used to say, I hate fasting. I hate fasting. I used to say it all the time. But I'm going to tell you why we're not going to hate fasting. And I'm going to challenge you. I don't want to scare you, but I just ask you, could you open up your mind? And I can be pretty bullheaded. Do not raise your hand or say amen. We know that, Pastor D. But I can be pretty controlling and don't want to listen. But I'm asking you, don't be like me. Open up your brains. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. And I want to talk about fasting. Because I'm going to show you, and I know that fasting will help you, throw you great ways into 2019. Praise the Lord, Pastor D, fasting. Okay, now, if you never have done fasting, we're going to start in a beginner level, okay? We're going to start. We're not going to do the crazy stuff. Just going to start real beginning, just real easy, okay? So everybody go, fasting, that's so good. I can't wait to hear, Pastor D. Okay. I've done this the last 3 years, and I'm going to challenge. I'm just going to ask you to sign in blood. No, just think about it. Would you consider a 21-day fast starting in January? Now, obviously, what do we eat on January 1st? So you're going to start on the 2nd, okay? And I'm giving you all my leftovers. All right. So start on the 2nd. I'm just consider in your wildest dreams, okay, to do a 21-day fast, all right? All right? And we're going to talk about what fast looks like, what it does in our life, okay? So, if I were to give you, and write this down, if I were just give you a real simple, what is fasting all about? And by the way, it is all through your Bible. Just ask Google. Okay, Google, how many scriptures are on fasting? They'll tell you, okay? So, fasting is we usually fast food or things, all right? Food or things, and they bring us to a state of desperate. Desperate. So, when you move food out or things out, it'll bring you to a place of being desperate. And when you get to be desperate, guess what you're supposed to do? Put more of God in. Put more of God in. So the motive for fasting, all right, is to have more of God open up things in your life. That you can, matter of fact, everything's open and laid out and already dumped on side of you. But, you know, sometimes I've got so much junk and clutter in my life and busyness in my life that if I can move some of these things out, I can see, I can hear, and I can go. So fasting's good. Everybody say fasting's good. All right. Now, fasting always goes with prayer. Because if you're just fasting, you're on a diet. Right? If you're just fasting food, then you're on a diet. So fasting, they go together. They're married. Fasting and prayer. And that is where you're going to see yourself go forward. And prayer is so simple, so simple. It's just hanging out with God and just going, God! Okay, so super easy, super easy. I want to read you a quote from Jensen Franklin. I loaned my book out and don't know where it is. If you have my book, please return it. Because I had some other ones, and I didn't like them. But this is a quote from him, Jensen Franklin. He wrote a great book on fasting. A couple of them, matter of fact. He said this. Now listen. Listen to the punchline at the end. Moses, everybody know about Moses? Pretty incredible guy in the Bible, right? Moses. Moses fasted 40 days, okay? Elijah fasted 40 days. Paul fasted 14 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. Now, this is the kick. If the children of God, raise your hand if you're a child of God, okay? If the children of God do not fast, how will they ever fit into their armor? And the armor of God has everything to do with prayer and going forward for people, for nations, for you. So, how many of you know about the armor of God? We have the breastplate of righteousness. That's a part of the armor. We've got the belt of truth and all that. Those are armors, okay? That's the armor of God that we put on. And if we need to fast because sometimes it's just not working. It's not fitting. Anybody's clothes not fit between Thanksgiving and New Year's? You had to do the lay on the bed and get the zipper up. Better yet, I just wore stretchies. Stretchies are awesome, aren't they? Okay? So how about we consider fasting? Now, again, I'm not going to throw you in the deep. By the way, I used to teach swimming long, long time ago when it was cool to go to work in a bathing suit. Yeah, that's not happening, okay? But when I taught swimming, and I never threw the kid or the adult who didn't know how to swim in the deep water and just say, jump in. Please don't tell me you're one of, it's usually dads that do that. going to wring your neck. Okay, usually we start at the beginner level. Okay, beginner level for people that don't know how to swim, put your face in the water and they freak. Okay, put your face in the water and then they freak. And okay, you're okay, just your face. Okay, let's okay, get away. Now let's blow bubbles. Beginner. All right. And then eventually they learn how to swim because I was an awesome swim teacher. I still am. I'm just not going to work in a bathing suit. Okay. So I'm going to start you on the beginner level. So I'm going to give you some beginning things to fast because I know that fasting will clear some of the clutter out of our life that we can hear again and just go forward fast, fast forward, hard forward. Okay. So we're going to talk about what a fast is and how you fast. Number one, I'm going to give you about do I have five or six? Six things that fasting can do. Because you know what? Why would I buy something unless I know what it's going to do for me? Why would you do something unless you know it's what it's going to do for you? Because you're not stupid, right? So let me tell you what fasting can do for you. And I only gave six. I probably had about 10. But here's the first one. Fasting helps us overcome barriers. Fasting helps us overcome. Anybody feel like you hit the lid? Like, and you're kind of stuck? Well, fasting will help you over the barriers, okay? Here's the second one. Fasting helps resolve problems, okay? Anybody have any problems in your life and you're not sure what to do? We're going to talk about fasting. That'll help you get some answers there. Here's another one. Fasting helps make decisions. Fasting will help you make decisions. So you feel like you're at the Y in the road. You can't figure out if you're going to go right or left. Fasting will help you in the direction you should go because you're going to clear the junk out and you're going to spend time with God and you're going to hear real good, all right? Here's another one. Fasting helps us change the ones we love. Take a moment. How many have people that you love? Parents, mates, siblings, okay, spouse. And you've been talking to them, you've been loving them so sweetly, and they are not listening to anything you're saying. Matter of fact, if you look at their life, you're going, are you kidding me? You are on a straight and narrow road for destruction. Would you just listen to me? Just listen to me. And you're looking at their life, and it's horrible. I'm telling you what, you spend some time fasting for that person that God would open their eyes. Things will change. Okay. This one. Fasting helps satisfy spiritual hunger. There's two ways with this one. I pray this over you all the time, twice a week. Father God, your people, that they would be spiritually hungry, so hungry to go deep in you. Okay, so that's my prayer. I pray for myself, pray for my kids. I pray for you guys all the time. All right, so fasting will throw you into that. But then you got in there and you're so hungry. And this happened to me. This has been going on in my life for the last 6 months. And I know God's doing something in my life. And I just finally said, okay, I'm be really transparent. God, if this is what church is, I'm done. It's just pathetic. Now, I'm not talking about you, just general. Yeah, I am. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. Talking about me, come on. But I said, Lord, there's got to be more. This life in Jesus, being a believer, God, I am so hungry, and I don't know what it is. I want more. And I'm making some changes. By the way, I'm going to do fast. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, okay? So one, I pray for you. Two, it'll put spiritual hunger in you. And by the way, no one person, no one church can get you over into that. You have to ask God. Spiritual hunger. All right. I want to just get up every day going, man, I am so excited. God is in my life. God is going to move in my life. God has got incredible things. And I want to go to bed saying, God, you are so awesome. Instead of get up in the morning and go to bed at night going, Anybody at the stage? Okay. I want more. So I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for you, spiritual hunger. Okay, moving right along. Fasting helps us seek and discover God's will for our lives. Fasting will help you discover God's will for your life. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you to be praying and make a list of things you want to pray about for the if you take the challenge to fast for 21 days, make a list. I just, man, telling you what, it's going to be great. Praise the Lord. Make a list, like maybe you got one of these kids that is on the road to destruction. And you're going to take some time. Just get some of the clutter out and just fast some. And I'll talk about what to fast and how to do it. Because you're going to say, Lord, they need you in their life. And maybe you're at got some problems or a situation in your life and you just can't get over. It's like this mountain that's too high and you just keep looking at it, running into it. It's a good time to fast and say, Lord, I'm going to fast, spend some time. I'm going to hear from you. Praise God. So y'all excited about prayer and fasting? Absolutely, Pastor D. Can't wait. Okay, so what does fast look like? Okay, well, number one, fasting is food or things that we shove out of our way so I can be desperate and spend more time with the Lord, spend more time in the Word and just talking to Him. All right, so here's some people, this is all they need to do. This is not me. Some people, they just need to stop the sweets and the junk. That's all they need to do to move out of their life. And then I was like, now I cheat like crazy, especially over the holidays, but basically there's not a whole lot of, you know what, you know, come to my house, you want to know what junk is at my house? Pretzels and Toll House marbles, Toll House chips for making cookies, chocolate chips. That's it. So this one isn't me. But let me tell you a funny story. So this is a long time ago, about 20 years ago. A good friend of mine says, hey, Dee, I'm going to fast for 30 days. I'm like, whoa, I'm impressed. Because back then I hated fasting, probably only fast 2 times. So I was like, okay. He says, I'm going to fast food. So I like, fast food or food? He goes, oh, I'm fasting food. So that meant they were going on a liquid diet. Or a liquid fast, not a diet. It's not a diet. So I was like, whoa, man, you know, the spirit, woo. So I see this person about a week later, and they're looking good. Just drinking water, I thought. Okay. The second week, and I see them, they're looking good. They're all rosy and peppy and all that stuff. And the third week, you know, and then it's like day 26. I see them come in, and they're carrying a McDonald's milkshake. And I go, oh, I guess you finished your fast early. That's cool. That's pretty good. 26 days just, and now you're having a McDonald's shake. And he goes, no. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I had 3 shakes a day. That was his idea of going on a liquid fast. So I got in their face and I said, that is not a liquid fast. He goes, yes, it is. It's melted ice cream. Go, no. So, by the way, so just want to say, if you choose the Lord, you pray and ask the Lord what fast to go on, that is not giving up sweets. Just thought I'd give you a little humor there. Okay. Here's the second one. You can give up meat, fish, and dairy. Now, if you take the meat, fish, and dairy and you put it up with giving sweets, that's called a Daniel fast. Anybody ever hear of a Daniel fast? Go read the book of Daniel. It's in there, okay? A Daniel fast. And let me tell you, you move sweets, junk food, meat, fish, and dairy out of life, you will be desperate. Yeah. You're going to be desperate for God because your body will be talking. Let me tell you, it'll be screaming and not singing. Hallelujah. All right. So anyway, you'll feel God. All right. Here's the third one. A type of fast. You can give up a meal, like one meal a day. And like you're going to give up, you're going to eat breakfast, because breakfast is the food of champions. You're going to eat breakfast, you're going to eat lunch, but then you're not going to have dinner, right? And then you're going to read your Bible. Now, if you're not going to have dinner, that doesn't mean you're going to snack. You're not eating dinner or snacks. So you have breakfast and lunch, and then you just take time to fill that time with the Lord. Just take, you know, like 30 minutes, get in your Bible and just let the Word talk to you and wash over you and direct you and give answers and help you overcome things, okay? That's what you do. Now, here's number four. Or you can give up all food and just go liquid. Okay, like maybe broth, vegetable broth, or just straight water. Now, I don't recommend this for beginners. I'm not even there. Okay. I'm only 3 years into this because I used to say hate this. Okay, anyway, you go slow on this. But what I would say is maybe you pick one day a week where you give up all food and you just drink water for the whole day. And by the way, all of these, you need water. Water is like living water, the water. It's the main thing you have to have in your life. So just throw that out there. I'm not telling you what you have to do. Just throwing it out there. Okay, now, put your seatbelt on. You're gonna yell ow. Put your hand on your mouth. Do not yell anything. None of those types of fasts will work unless you do this next one. Fast media. Media. Oh, Pastor D, you mean like Facebook? Yes. Do you mean Instagram? Yes. Do you mean Netflix? Yes. Snapchat? Yes. TV? Yes. Gaming? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Fast media. Okay, this person isn't here. I'm changing the names, but she actually got kicked off of Facebook. They'll kick you off if you break some of the rules. So she basically got a forced fast. She was forced to fast. And I listened to her for, I think it was like 2 weeks. And she was desperate. She was in so much pain, okay? And it was a good time for me to just encourage her to use her time. Okay. So now the thing about media, it kind of anesthetizes you. It kind of solves all your problems. You go into la-la, happy land, you know, fantasy land when you're in media, right? Sure, Pastor D. I just love everything you're saying, okay? Yeah, it really does. So let's say you decide you're going to fast a meal, but then you go right to the media, and it fills you, and it fills you. You didn't fast, okay? You got to get rid of this stuff because it takes the time. The whole purpose of this is to spend time with God, to hear God, get direction, and get over some things and figure out this way. And if I had a choice, you know, just to personally, if I had a choice, if I gave you the choice, fast food or media, which would make you the most desperate to pour you, to throw you into God, to hear from God? Raise your hand if media would be the one. Media, come on, the rest of you lying, okay? I read this. The average person will have spent 5 years of their life on media. One of those, 5 years. It totals up to 5 years. You have wasted, okay? And then they said teenagers. Now this I didn't get because I don't have teenagers anymore. Thank you, Lord. Teenagers, 9 hours a day. Well, you might not be the mama then, I'm telling you what. But that's kind of interesting. Okay? Interesting, interesting. Okay. So, in this day and age, I'm telling you, just fast media. Just, hi, cutie pie. He's saying, mama, fast media. No, I'm only kidding, I'm only kidding. Rachel laughs at me all the time. I love her. She's my favorite to look to. Okay. So, now, for me, I'm going to start on the second. I'm going to eat my pork and sauerkraut on the first, and then I'm going to throw it in the freezer, okay? I'm going to do a partial fast on foods. I'm not telling you what. Definitely to sweets and stuff like that. And then I'm going to fast media. Except, I'm going to go like this. Lord, I am going to clear out the clutter so I can, I have some big things. I actually have some big decisions to make in 2019. And I just can't get direction on it. Like I'm going around, and it sometimes it keeps me up at night, and it's not a worry thing. It's just I got to get direction, okay? So this is me. God, I'm going to do some food fast, Lord, and Lord, I'm going to fast media, except on Sunday night for Masterpiece Theater. Because 99% of the time, I've been fasting media, right? It's just 1 and 2 hours, right? 2 hours. 2 hours on Sunday, so that's not bad. Now, y'all looking at me, how many of you would say, Lord, I'm going to fast food and this and media, except for the playoffs on football? And really, that's not too bad, okay? That's not too bad. Come on, I'm not shaming you. Because really, how they're not on, right? They're not, just, you know, pick one day, watch one team, or watch, you know, the playoffs. Okay, so, okay. Pastor D, you are really cute. Yeah, I know. Okay, so, by the way, let me tell you about fasting. Media, food, you'll go to bed early. Because you cleared the clutter, right? And I don't know about you, some of you, not me, that's the other church down there. They get their Bible out, next thing they pass out, they're sound asleep. So you'll go to bed early, it'll be great. It's a good thing, okay? So, praise the Lord. All right, fasting. I'm believing for all of you, maybe just to consider that, especially first time, let's do a fast. Okay, let's go to the next letter. Shh, thank you, Pastor D, just get to the next letter. T, ready? T means take inventory. Take inventory. Okay, so this is like where you look back at 2018 and you say, hey, what worked and what didn't work? What was working and what didn't work? You're going to take inventory. Now, if you own a business, if you own a successful business, y'all do that, right? You do that. You will look at, and listen, I do this at YCF, and we start this, actually, I've got a team that we do part of this together, but we start in September, and we will look at YCF as a business, okay? What worked? What didn't work, right? Where did we get the bang for our buck? Where did we not? We're going to look at that. We look at that. We also go, hey, is there someone that's in a position that we didn't get a bang for a buck, and we're going to move them over here? Nobody's losing their jobs. Just be cool, okay? But really, if you have a business and you want to be successful, you will do that, all right, in a business stand. Now, personally, I do this every year in January. I do. We also get to go to a conference, so it gives me a lot of time to do this. But, you know, I'm doing a 21-day fast, and I'm going to take some time to look at my life, and I'm looking at, hey, what was working good and what didn't work in my life? And more importantly, what's not working that I need to cut out, all right? I do that in my life, okay? Or better yet, what do I need to add to my life so that it will be a great 2019? Praise the Lord. Now, while I cut these things out, and I'm reading and praying, I'm taking inventory, and things start to shift so that I can have, you know, a better year. Better year, praise God. Let me read you a quote. Here we go. Here we go. This is by George Bernard Shaw. He said this so well. Progress is impossible without change. In other words, you cannot go forward unless you make change. If you were going around the mountain, 2017 was you're going around the mountain, 18 is going around the mountain. Nothing, you're going to go around the mountain until you have some change in your life, all right? So that's what he's saying. Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. So unless you decide to go through some inventory and cut some things out and add some things out, you're going to have 2018 all over again, right? So it's a good thing to take inventory. Everybody smile at your neighbor and say, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I'll tell you what, if you're married, this is something you do together also. You do personally, and then you talk about family. You know, what was going good in our lives? What's not? How can we make some changes, okay? So families can do this together. Praise God. Let's do our next letter, A, S-T-A. A is add vision. Add vision. Vision. Okay, I'll tell you a story. The neighbor's catty corner years ago adopted a greyhound dog. And when you adopt a greyhound dog, they check you out. They just don't toss them over there. And these are dogs that their racing season is finished, they're retired, and you can adopt them. Okay, so I had talked to the missus about this years ago. It just kind of stuck in my mind here. Now, greyhound dogs are actually lazy. They don't do distance, okay? They're sprinters, right? Duh, they sprint. Okay, they're sprinters, okay? But they'd rather be couch potatoes. They'd rather just curl up, stay in one spot, okay? That's kind of the greyhound. That's their temperament, all right? So how do they get them to race? Well, they got that rabbit, right? They got that rabbit thing, fake rabbit, right? And they put them in their stalls, and the bell goes ding, and the rabbit's going. The rabbit's going, the rabbit's going, and they're going, and they're going, they're going, they're going, the rabbit's going, the rabbit's going. But really, they'd rather be couch potatoes. So that rabbit actually becomes the vision to get them going. And that rabbit is the vision that you and I need in our life, okay, to get us going. Actually, the rabbit is vision, and we need vision to go. Otherwise, I'm just going to be a couch potato, all right? So we need vision. We need to add vision. We need to add vision. Look at Proverbs 17, Proverbs 17, verse 24. Proverbs 17, 24. An intelligent person aims at wise actions. An intelligent person aims at wise actions. That means they've got vision. That means they got vision, all right? But a fool starts off in many directions. That means they got no vision. That means they're a couch potato, all right? So you and I have to add vision to our life. And some of you are looking like, Pastor D, I don't know what vision is in my life. Ooh. How about you set aside some time, possibly fast, and pray and ask God. It's okay. God, I need vision in my life. I just feel like I'm a couch potato. I just feel like I've been going around the mountain, and I do not want to do 2018 over again. So ask God. Some of you sitting here, I know God gave you vision because there was a time you told me about it, but now you're just kind of lazing and couch potato. That's okay. Ask God. God, I need a refresh. I need I need to know where I'm going again. So just ask God. It's okay. It's okay. So now, if you ask God for vision, and that has to do with God has plans and purposes and gifts in your life, but if you ask God to open your eyes, he'll open your eyes. And sometimes those visions and plans that God gives you will just scare the willies out of you because you'll go, oh my gosh, this is too big. I can't do this. No way. This is impossible. Okay, but if God gave it to you, he will help you. And I'll get to the last one here. So I just want to read this one here. This is written in 1899, at the turn of the century. And it was written by the U.S. Patent Commissioner. And he said, listen to this. Everything that can be invented has been invented. The guy lost vision. Now, I just pictured this. This is the commissioner for the patent building. You know, they make patents, everybody comes up with their ideas, and he's like, whoa, just so overwhelmed and just blown away with all these great ideas. But this is 1899. And guys, there's big vision out there. It still goes. But you can go, you know, God plops an idea on you, and you're like, well, I don't know, I don't know. Come on, it's big. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. How many of you are so young that you remember the Jetsons cartoon? Jetsons, meet the Jetsons. I don't remember the rest of it. You talk about, how old were we back then? Yeah, something like that. And what was the lady's name? Jane? George and Jane. Jane, they would do FaceTiming on the cartoon back in the 60s. Oh, Jesus, help me. Okay, and I would watch that thinking, that is just crazy. That's just bananas. That's just from another planet. I was FaceTiming my girls yesterday. It's awesome, okay? So why do I tell you that? You know, sometimes God will give you vision. Don't freak out because it's just so out there. Here's another one. What's his name? Oh, yeah. Let me do this one. Okay. I'm going to read this to you. The concept, this is a Yale professor, and this is what he says. The concept is interesting and well-formed, but in order to earn better than a C, the ideal must be feasible. Okay? This is a professor at Yale, and he is reading a paper written by Fred Smith, who was proposing overnight delivery service in 1970s, and that's where FedEx was born. Sometimes God will give you the big, audacious, crazy thing, and people will shoot you down. But look, FedEx, it's just bananas. And who's the guy that does Amazon? What's his name? Jeff Piso. Okay. I bet there were a ton of naysayers. Ah, you can't do that. Walmart's got the market on this. No one's ever going to buy online. How many of you bought online last week? How many of you do it all the time? Okay, you go to Amazon. How many of you go to Amazon? You can go to this, you know, 10 years ago, you can go online and buy your groceries. And Walmart's trying to catch up. Amazon's got them beat. By the way, Amazon does $60 billion of revenue a year. And that dear professor at Yale poo-pooed him. All right? So, okay, so listen, you pray, God, I need to add vision to my life because I am stuck and I want added to my life so I can go forward. God, give me vision. And if he gives you vision and people say, tough, stick around. Stick around, baby. You're going to read about me, all right? So add vision. Let's do the next one. Here we go. R. This is a good one. R, run forward. We have to run forward. We have to run forward. I'm going to read this quote to you. This is by B.C. Forbes. He said this, the Bible says, so he's a believer, the Bible says make your vision clear and write it down so that those that read it can run with it. There comes a time concerning your vision where you have to move forward. This is the Forbes magazine, Forbes empire guy. And he was an immigrant to the United States. He came here with no money and he created this incredible vision and empire. By the way, he was a Christian and he was a tither. And what he's saying is, yeah, you need to add vision to your life. Okay? But at some time you have to get off your butt and you have to do it. All right? You have to do it. So at some point in time, okay? So you have to run forward. Praise the Lord. Turn to Ecclesiastes 11, or they'll just pop it up there. Ecclesiastes 11:4. So we have to run forward. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Sometimes we're waiting for all the ducks to get in the row, and they never get in the row. But listen, you've heard from God, you prayed, you fasted, you heard from God. You took inventory, he dumped vision in your life, and now you're waiting for perfect. Well, perfect doesn't always come. You're just going to have to get out of the boat and go forward and walk on water, and it's okay. Now, do we plan? Yes. Do you do your research? Yes. Do you take inventory? You know, do that? Yeah, you just don't jump out of the plane, okay? But after you've, done all the things, the good things you should do, just the real practical things, then you got to get out of the boat and run forward. So, man, I'm excited about 2019. I got my sneakers already. I am going to be running forward. How about you? Praise God. So fresh start means start fasting, take inventory, add vision, and run forward. Here's the last one. Praise God. This is the last one. It's the most important one. If you don't understand this, you will never finish those. If you don't understand this, okay, ready? The last word, the last letter is T for trust. We have to trust God. You have to trust God. Listen, that means we have to get help from God. Because you won't finish your 21-day fast unless you ask God for his grace. And his grace is his ability to do what you cannot do. His ability to do what you cannot do. So I'm going to ask him to help me. Okay, God, help me first pick what I want to do. God, help me so I can finish it. All right? You're going to have to take inventory. You're going to need God's help. I love this. Well, what are you thinking? I don't know. You got any vision? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Well, how about you ask God? Okay? He'll give you vision. All right? And then inventory. He'll tell you, if you walk around and tell me, oh, we're taking inventory, honey, we're gonna have a prayer time together, and we're gonna take inventory on how our life is doing, our kids, our marriage, and we're like, oh, it's just perfect, everything is just wonderful, Oh no, baby, you need to ask God to bring some light. There's always room for improvement. Okay, praise God, absolutely, praise the Lord. All right. And you just have to ask God to help you step out of the boat. I'm going to give you one more scripture. It's Proverbs 16:8. Proverbs 16:8. We plan the way we want to live. Okay, and you should. You should plan good things, okay? But I like the but only God makes us able to live that. So I'm believing, I'm praying for all of you and me that God will give you the grace to walk these things out. God will give you a grace then and a help so you can start it and finish it. Because I'm believing for 2019, for my personal life, for your life, for this church life, for this county, for this nation, for this world that we live in. And it's pretty messed up, but I think it might take some things on our part. So it is just amazing when you spend time with God, you fast, you move the junk out, you just get quiet. Even if you do it like once a week, you know, every Wednesday I'm fasting dinner, and I'm staying late at the office. It's my fast night. I'm going to fast dinner. You okay with that? Yeah. And I'm just going to dig into the Bible, just going to hear God, and then I'm going to pray about some things, and I'm going to trust God for his grace in my life. Anybody got some loved ones that could use you doing that? Anybody got some problems in your life that they're just stuck there? They're just stuck there. I just challenge you, would you take some time for maybe some prayer and fasting? So I think this is a good time to pray. How about you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord God, I believe that you've been dealing with hearts, Father, and this is really important. This is life-changing moment. I believe, Father, that you have spoken to people's hearts to fast for the first time on a beginner level. And I thank you, Father, that you, I thank you, Father, that it was made simple. I thank you, Father, you just encourage them, help them pick this to grow in you, to hear from you. And Father, I believe that there are people that are spiritually hungry and they don't know what to do next. And I thank you, Father, that you will direct them, speak them, map out the plan, and they will go for it. They will go for it for 2019. And I thank you, Father, for this incredible thing called prayer and fasting. And I thank you, Father, for change in my life, change in people's lives, so that we can change what you've called us to change in 2019. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, just